Is the Lord among us or not? Let us pray. God, give us hearts to know your love, ears to hear your whispers, eyes to see your glory, and lips to speak only your truth. Amen. Please. This morning in our readings, and especially in our gospel lesson, we're given proof that what I said last week about things usually being a little longer in Lent is true. While last week we had a gospel lesson that had two stories in it, Jesus talking to Nicodemus and Jesus talking to his disciples, today it's all one story, and it's two full pages in our gospel book, because it's one story. That's how important it is. One story. And I'm going to get there in just a second, but I want to start where I started before my prayer. Is the Lord among us or not? This prayer, this naming of a place that happened when the Jews wandered the desert and the wilderness to find their forever home. This place where Moses struck the rock to test God and demand water for the people of God. Is the Lord among us or not? Was the argument there. And I know as our fears and anxieties that have developed through this week have changed our presence and capabilities to be with one another, we ask ourselves too often, is the Lord among us or not? So I'm going to start with the reminder that we get from that first lesson in Exodus. That story, the naming of the place is because of the quarrel. And the quarrel ended up, yes, the Lord is among us after all. The Lord was and is there. The Lord is here and will be with us even as we explore different ways of being together during this time. As we seek to hold each other's health and comfort up, and lift one another up and love each other through different ways of communication. And I hold up to you that this message is alive and well in the gospel that we heard today too. Is the Lord among us or not? Just before this gospel lesson begins, we're given a little prelude. And it's, they were going up from Jerusalem to Galilee, and you had to cross through Samaria to get there. And that's an interesting statement of John, because it's just downright not true. Because most Jews of the day would not, as we see in the story of the Good Samaritan, cross to the other side of the street to avoid them. Most Jews of the day would cross the River Jordan and walk up the other side to avoid going through Samaria. That's how much these two societies did not mingle. You talk about social distancing and the problems that it can cause to be apart from one another in too big of a way. They stepped across the river and went up. But Jesus and his disciples didn't go that way. John says it's because you had to go through Samaria, and they chose to go through Samaria. They chose to be on this path that would inevitably lead them to deal with, guess who? Samaritans. Guess who lives in Samaria? They knew it. And there Jesus is. He's sitting on the side of a well. He's decided he's thirsty. He wants some time alone. Or whatever other reason, he doesn't go with all his followers into the city. We know that crowds have started following him. So maybe he's trying to keep a little distance there and have a little peace among himself. But along comes this woman, and we're told it's noontime. And guess how hot it is in the desert at noon? This woman comes to the well at the time when she knows nobody in their right mind would be there. She comes to avoid everyone. She comes to be by herself, to get her water and go home before anybody knows she was even there. Because this woman in a society that is cast out by most of the Jews, is also cast out because she, we are told, has had five husbands, and she's with somebody else now, and that person isn't her husband. And so she's judged by this society for the life that she's led. She is seeking that solitude and that water that she must have to survive. And all she wants is a little peace and quiet. And she walks up. And so this is the first century equivalent of a bar. Girl walks into a bar. Guy's sitting there already. Jesus is there and he's like, pour me a drink. She's there for her own comfort and her own peace of mind. And the first thing he says, this random guy that's there, and he's clearly Jewish. I don't know the signifiers in first century Jewish culture and Samaritan culture, but she knows he's Jewish. She's like, why do you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? And they have this long conversation because it's an important one. They talk about things such as salvation and the worship of God. These aren't menial conversations. And it's also important that it is to this woman, this very woman who's part of a society that Jesus isn't supposed to touch, who's a woman who's unclean ritually simply because she's been married five times and she's with somebody she's not married to now, and so he's not supposed to be hanging out with her. And there they are by themselves having this private conversation. Jesus reaches out to her, and for the first time in the Gospel of John, he says, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. When she asks about the Messiah, I am he. This is a big deal. In the Gospel of John, he continually reminds us that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the first time in the Gospel of John that Jesus claims, I am. That Jesus says, ego a me, the divine nature is within him. Girl walks into a bar, guy asks for a drink and says, hey, I'm divine. And that's when his friends walk up. It's an interesting situation going on. All of these innuendos and other things that say that this conversation shouldn't be, don't stop Jesus from being present. Is the Lord among us or not? And there he is at the well where he shouldn't be. He should be across the river avoiding us at all costs, and there he is among us. Is the Lord among us or not? And there he is asking for a cup of water while reminding us that he's got water and food that we don't know about. Because Jesus is something more. Because he is the I am. This is what holds us in this time. This season of Lent where we're struggling to find our path forward. This season of unrest and confusion that we're all walking through together trying to figure out how to live and honor one another. We're reminded that even when we know by all rights that the Lord shouldn't be among us, wouldn't be among us because something is wrong with us. We're told that so much. Even in those moments, God is there to remind us that the Lord is here. And the Lord will be here. The Lord will be with you. Wherever you go, whatever solace we have to take, whatever separation we're asked to take by our medical professionals in this time, the Lord will still be with us. The question has been answered for us, my friends, and it's a beautiful answer. And then it's an answer that says, whether you want me to be there or not, the Lord is there. This Samaritan woman wasn't looking for company. She wasn't looking for the Lord. She wasn't looking for the Messiah because she knew within herself that the Lord wouldn't deign to come near her. And there the Lord was. I urge you in this time to remember that the Lord is there, whether you're looking or not. The Lord will be among you. That is our message of the gospel. Not just today when we've received this wonderful story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman who doesn't even get a name at the well in Samaria, but every day and always. Amen.